Chapter 20. "I think that will do it," I said as I exited the training dungeon for the 40th time and returned to the Hall of Mirrors. And like had been the case since around the third time through, Rhapsody's avatar was missing. It was understandable, since she was busy doing goddess things and I had been at it for a long time. I wasn't quite sure how long that actually was, since each return to the Hall of Mirrors instantly refreshed my need to eat, drink, and, well, pretty much everything else. But it had been a while. And yeah, maybe power leveling in a low-level dungeon hadn't been the best use of time, but not only had I reached level 24, now every one of my main summoned creatures, as well as a few extras I'd leveled up for just-in-case scenarios, had managed to rank up. I'd also found that after the rank-ups, level 5 was pretty much the limit before they stopped leveling up. "I am still saddened that I was not able to get stronger to better please you, Master," Queenie said with her head bowed as we stood in the small shrine that was my home base in my own galaxy. "Would you like me to try again?" "No," I sighed. Queenie had only been able to reach level 2 before she'd stopped getting experience, and I had a feeling that had something to do with her status as a unique summon. "I appreciate your enthusiasm, but I wasn't just doing this to get stronger." I cracked my knuckles as I moved toward the mirror that led to my godly realm. "Now that we've all gotten as high as we can, it's time to get to work." I stepped through it for what felt like the first time. And this time, it was almost entirely unlike when I'd gone into the training dungeon. It was hard to explain, except to say that I suddenly felt unstoppable. My blood was suddenly rocket fuel, and my knowledge vast and infinite. It was like being hooked to a supercomputer that could also leap tall buildings in a single bound. At the edge of that near-limitless well of power within me were walls that I knew would crumble if I got stronger. All I needed to do was level up, and my strength would truly be unmatched. "So this is what being a god really feels like," I said. And then, because I was a little silly, I flexed, and in so doing, felt the very reality of the world around me warp.
"You seem quite powerful, Master," Queenie spoke up from behind me. And as I turned toward her, I realized I could see the very essence of her being. No, that wasn't quite right, because that would imply limits. I could see the atoms making her up, and the subatomic particles making those up. I could see the aura floating around her, through her, and surging around her. If I pulled my vision back a touch, I could see her organs, bones, and muscle. Everything was spread out before me, and what's more, I understood it all in the barest fraction of a moment. A unit of time so small, it made a femtosecond feel like infinity. I saw, and I knew things.
"You as well seem stronger, Queenie," I said, and as I spoke the words, I realized how true it was, because a thin conduit of godly energy flowed from me to her, filling her with power beyond what she'd ever had in life. And all of this was just me at a level 24 godling. What would it be like when I reached higher levels?
"Thank you, Master." She bowed her head. "It pleases me that you are pleased by my strength."
"Glad to be of service," I nodded, before turning my attention back to my galaxy. It was still as cold and dead as it had been when I'd first seen it through the mirror. I glanced back at the mirror I'd stepped through and found it to be the barest fragment of starlight against an empty black horizon.
While I should have been worried about finding it again, the moment the thought crossed my mind, a mini-map opened in the corner of my vision that displayed my exact position as well as the exact position of the mirror. Unfortunately, the rest of the map was mostly grayed out, and I realized one of my limits was definitely omniscience. If I wanted to know about something, I'd have to, at the very least, find it. And while I knew I could spend time actively searching out each and every atom in this vast galaxy, I didn't see the point at the moment. After all, I had a planet to terraform. Instead, I focused on the planet closest to the orbital sweet spot, since that is where I would begin my preparations. And as I did, I suddenly found myself standing on its rough red surface. "I love the smell of nothing in the morning," I said as I tried to inhale, but since there wasn't actually air, it didn't really work. Fortunately, in my godly state, I didn't need to breathe to do silly things like live or talk. That was also when I realized that Queenie wasn't with me and was, in fact, back at the mirror. And also, she couldn't really fly in space, at least not now, anyway, since she had no form of propulsion. I snapped my fingers and brought her to me. Then I spent half a moment giving her enough godly juju to make it so she could move around the galaxy with her own power. "Better?" I asked when I was done. "Yes," she nodded. "This power will better allow me to serve you, Master." She peered at me. "What would you have me do?" "Give me a second." As I spoke, I knelt on the rough-hewn rock of the planet and put my fingers in the dirt. It was softer than I'd expected, and I instantly knew the composition. While I wasn't super concerned with it at the moment, I did note that there was a lot of iron oxide in the dirt, enough to explain the reddish color of the place. I also confirmed what I had gleaned from my initial scan of the system. The core of the planet was dead, and I knew why. The dynamo inside where the core had been didn't have a high enough concentration of platinum, iridium, and osmium. I shut my eyes and reached out with my sense ability. And as I did, I turned on my overdrive. It worked better than I'd have imagined, since it stretched out pretty far from where I stood, but not exactly far enough at the same time, since it barely went beyond the planet where I stood. No, if I wanted to know more and find more, I'd have to find it myself. That was fine, though, because I had space ants. "Queenie," I said, as I got to my feet and turned to face her. "Can you do me a favor?"
"Yes, Master?"
she inquired, practically bubbling with excitement.
"What is it you desire of me?"
"Actually, let's take a step back," I said with a laugh, and at her confused look, I just shrugged and continued. "So, if I wanted to find certain kinds of metals and whatnot in the surrounding area," I gestured around us, "and by area, I mean the surrounding space." I paused for emphasis, but when she just stared at me eagerly, I let out a small sigh and forged ahead. "What would we need to do to get it and bring it back here?" She mused and tapped one slender finger against her cheek.
"That is an interesting question."
She glanced around.
"Simply taking ore from a planet would not be terribly difficult, as the ants you currently have in your army are perfectly capable of doing that."
"I'm sensing a but," I asked with a raised eyebrow.
"Yes. Well, the problem is logistics."
She huffed out a breath, and I could tell she was frustrated.
"I am not sure how to get the metal we mine out back to this place easily."
Her shoulders slumped.
I fear that even if you were to give them power such as you gave me, it would not be enough to make the trip quickly enough to be worth it.
Oh, I said as I scratched the back of my head. That is a doozy. Only as I thought about it, I realized it wasn't that big of a problem. What if your aunts just dug it up and put it in a pile? Then I could transport it. How about that?
It would definitely be easier, but it is not your place to do things like that.
She touched her breast with one hand.
We are your servants and should not require you to lift even a finger.
She frowned.
While your help in this way would greatly increase our efficiency, it would signal a failure for us.
Nah, we're a team, I said as I put my arm around her shoulders. And there is no I in team. Instead of immediately responding, she just flushed bright red, which was cute given her inherent shade of green.
As you wish, Master.
Okay. I clapped my hands together. What do we need to do for you to find things?
It is easy enough,
Queenie said, her face screwed up in concentration. The look sort of reminded me when someone tried to visualize something in their mind to walk someone through it.
Simply deploy your scouts and tell them what you wish them to find.
Oh, I said with a smirk. Then, with a wave of my hand, I summoned Scout and fed him a bit of godly power through the tether that attached him to me. The little ant twitched, and I heard the barest words of thanks echo in my mind from the creature. Okay, Scout, I said, after shooting a quick glance at Queenie. I need you to find sources of iridium, platinum, and osmium. Actually, get gold and tungsten too. Those are probably more abundant and almost as good. It was true. While iridium, platinum, and osmium had densities above 21,000 kilograms per meters cubed and were optimal for the task at hand, both gold and tungsten had densities over 19,000 kilograms per meters cubed. Also, frozen CO2, oxygen, nitrogen, and water would be good. We don't necessarily need to mine those last three out right now because it will be for the atmosphere, and we won't need it until after we restart the dynamo. But I'd like to know where they are anyway. Scout bobbed his head once, and a half a second later, I saw the mini-map of the planet as well as the area about the range of my own sensibility light up, showing the items I'd requested. While the ones on the planet and its moon didn't really help, the ones in the immediate area did. Queenie, can you coordinate the retrieval and scouting of the things I asked for if I give you access to the summons?
I glanced around the area.
I'd like to prioritize asteroids over planets and moons if possible, but at the same time, we need approximately 4 times 10 to the 21st power kilograms total, so whatever works, really. At least I hoped that was true. I hadn't actually looked at the core of this planet in detail. From here, it seemed like it would be enough, but once I got down there, I might need 10 times that much material. Still, my godly powers told me I was pretty close. That, in itself, was pretty cool. Because before, I would have had to do a bunch of complex calculations spanning numerous spreadsheets to figure out how much material to add to the core to restart the planet's magnetic field. But now, I just thought about it and the math just happened in my head, which was pretty fucking sweet.
It would be my pleasure to coordinate this task with you,
Queenie said with a nod.
As queen, coordinating your army is well within my abilities.
Excellent, I said, as I swapped over control of the summons within my storage to her. I also gave her the ability to access my ability to create new ones and put them away if needed. I could always override her if needed, but I didn't think that was going to be necessary. She wasted no time either. I'd barely given her control when she began summoning 15 scout ants, and the strain on my power was immediate, but less than I'd expected it, since Queenie was fueling their creation from her own aura pool. I watched as the ants rose from the ground like zombies clawing free of the earth. Like Scout, they were all greenish and had a small tether of godly energy tethering them to me and now to her. Then she marched over to them like General Patton and stood over them. She didn't speak, but her antennae twitched intently for a few moments. One by one, green, glowing fireballs began to envelop the scout ants. And as they grew so bright that I couldn't actually look at them and see detail despite my godly vision, they leapt skyward with enough force to crack the earth beneath their feet. I watched as they soared upward and into space. And it was then that I realized I could feel their journey through the tether as they passed through the upper reaches of the planet's weak gravity and burst out into the vast emptiness of space. As I watched them go, I rubbed my face as I thought over what we needed to do. It seemed pretty overwhelming because we had to start basically from scratch. We needed to open up the planet's core, melt down what was there, and add enough heavy metal so that when the planet's natural rotation started to move the newly molten core, it would create a proper dynamo and restart the planet's magnetic field. Then, and only then, would the planet have enough of a magnetic field to keep the star's radiation from stripping off an atmosphere. Plus, we'd have increased the gravity of the planet enough to keep most of the atmosphere from reaching escape velocity and venting itself into space. That was when we could start introducing the necessary components to make that atmosphere. It was a lot of work. And now that Queenie was going to start the scouting and retrieval process for the indescribably huge amount of rare metals we needed, I had my own share of work. So I turned my attention back to the planet and rubbed my hands together. It was time to get busy.